Okay, the meeting is called to order. At this time, if you would stand, we will have a moment of silence and pledge to the flag. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, welcome to our first of the two board meetings for the month. We normally have the committee meeting first. This is the meeting where we typically do most of our discussions. And then the second meeting is when we vote on items that we put forth on the agenda. At this time, then, we would have time for citizens of the district to address the board. And we have several who have requested to speak this evening. So we will call them here and start out with Dave Horst from East Earl. We had a little misunderstanding the last meeting. We had two Dave Horst. Make sure we get the right. Oh, yeah, and then after that will be Rosie Hirsch. We're not going to have people.
Oh, that's a huge umbrage.
Yeah, we're not going to have people yelling out at the meeting. Please.
Sorry. Okay. You board members, I'll say. At the last meeting, quite a few people came up with percentages of suicide attempts and stuff. And I wanted to kind of clarify. There was a book called When Harry Became Sally. And in that book, it does agree that the suicide attempt rate for transgender people is around 41%. But in the book, it says, according to their study, that it doesn't make hardly any difference if the people are completely supported by those around them or they're not. And in the book, it went on to say that once the gender change is complete, all of the operation, the physical operations to change body parts is completed, the suicide rate is 19 times higher than normal. It appears from that, that the farther they go through the transition, that they don't feel, the majority don't feel a change in the way they view themselves. And then they get frustrated, throw their hands up, and say, what's the use of living? And then that's why, when they're all completely finished, and they still feel the same or worse than they did when they started, the suicide rate goes way up. I just wanted to make that point for when you're deciding what to do, that you realize there is, that it doesn't have so much to do with support as it does to do with the way they feel about themselves. I'll just read two testimonies from two different people in that book. A lady that referred to herself as Crash said, transitioning was an act of self-destruction for me. Enabled by medical professionals who were supposedly helping us find our true selves, transitioning was itself further trauma. It is truly horrifying to come out of that disassociated state and realize that not only were you suppressing and trying to destroy yourself, but that the people that were encouraging you and assisting you to do so. Many of us found some relief initially through changing our bodies, but found even greater peace and happiness coming to accept our bodies as female or male. Someone else referred to as Walt, treating psychological pain with sex change surgery doesn't work. Trying to align the body with a transgender identity does not resolve the deep issues that led to alienation from my body. I just wanted to point that out when you make your decisions at from the other side. Thank you for your time.
Have a good evening. All right, and then Lindsay Hirsch.
Good evening, board.
And then, I'm sorry, Zachary Gregg will be up.
Thank you for this opportunity to share again. I really appreciate it. The comments given 2 weeks ago, were all those El Lango citizens that you know of?
Everyone that signed up had to put in an address that was, you know, whether that was truthful or not, but everybody put an address that was within this order.
That's important to us. Just this past weekend, I was able to listen to a boy who's in this gym class that's a question. And he is, of course, uncomfortable. And he shared of the detentions that are given. I don't know if the board knows about that. But if somebody refers to the biological female as a she or her, they get a detention, put in a little room with one window. I don't know where I'll get the answer for that. But
yeah, I'm not sure.
I would like to know about that. I to my knowledge, you have factual information.
I will
have that tomorrow.
I will go back to this,
yeah,
if I can, to this person.
Yeah.
Well, and then Linda, I know you always gave checks for swearing and stuff, and this person said there's always a lot of that. But he said they're put into this little room with one window, and there they sit all day. Okay, and I really appreciate what Dave said. I've heard many testimonies of folks who have chosen to take the step like we're talking about, and then 10, 15 years down the road, want to be put back the way God made them. Thank you.
Okay. Zachary Gregg, and then Jonathan
Spangenberg. Evening, board. Just a quick comment from what I heard in the first comment. The book that the gentleman was referring to was written by Ryan T. Anderson, who is not only known for his dismissal of transgender folk among us, but also for his denial of gay folk and for trying to claim that somehow they aren't protected under the 14th Amendment. So with that out of the way, I'd like to start off by just saying the times are different now, and that's a good thing. The term sex covers a lot more, including gender identity. And that's backed up by the Human Rights Campaign as well as PA, ACLU. So, because of them, we have more civil liberty protections than at any other point in history. And the reality that we must face in this room, and as the Lango community, is that 2019 is not 1960. Times change. And as Dr. Martin Luther King once said, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Much like how many people didn't support the Revolutionary War in 1776, and how a majority of people in 1966 had an unfavorable view of Martin Luther King Jr., if people can't see exactly what will happen in the future, it scares them. But what we need to understand is that the jury is in on this issue. There is absolutely no link between transgender inclusive policy and crimes from transgender individuals, which is what a lot of people talked about at the last board meeting. Both privacy concerns. What if this? What if that? There's no link. That doesn't happen. That's not real. And to quote from the ACLU, students who are struggling with their sexual identity or friends often face enormous pressures and sometimes violence. The Massachusetts Department of Education found that 23% of gay and lesbian students reported assaults that required medical attention, compared with 3% of their peers. 22% had skipped school in the preceding year because they felt unsafe, compared to 4% of their students. Non-discrimination and anti-harassment policies tell students that school, at least, is one place where they can be safe. Also, the American Academy of Pediatrics states more than half of transgender male teens, 50%, reported attempting suicide in their lifetime, while 30% of transgender females said that they attempted suicide. Repeating the talking points of an outside organization whose main goal is to twist a single student's life into an argument about privacy, that is bullying. That is fear-mongering. If we don't accept that times move, regardless of whether we are looking forward or not, and a new era is upon us, we will end up in a history book 50 years from now as the people who refuse to change. We will have the same mask as those that didn't support breaking away from Britain and those that were bystanders as MLK was murdered. But we're better than that. And I know that. From the time I've lived here, I know that we're not that. We've proven that through this student's time in our community that we have accepted him and we will continue to accept him. We already have. So let's not reverse course now. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan, and then Jennifer Sack.
Sorry. Apologize. Something like that. First of all, I just want to say thank you to the board for continuing to address this transgender situation. I apologize, I missed the last meeting, but I wanted to have an opportunity to voice my opinion, so I appreciate that. That is a great comment to the last person to speak. I just wanted to say that while times change, facts do not. So, as a father of four, one of my main jobs in this age of my life is to protect my four children. If we continue on the path we are going, you need to figure out how you're going to deal, how you're going to enforce the abuse of law. If an individual is just testing the waters with his or her gender identity, what criteria must that person meet to be given the ability to use the other bathroom? There are parents here who are fighting for rights that they're not giving me. How can you ask for equal rights to people when you're not giving gender-specific people rights as well? You see, there's a reason for separate bathrooms in the first place. You're asking for us to take a right away from our children and give it to theirs. You don't want your children bullied or ostracized, and I can understand that. But the bathroom, the locker room, is not the place to do it. I would do anything again to protect my children and ensure that they have rights. And this is why I'm here tonight. Again, there are some here who are trying to convince my children to be okay with going against the force of nature. And if bullying is your driving factor, this is not going to eliminate it. If bullying is the factor, then maybe we should discuss, talk about discipline and giving teachers the ability to discipline. And more so, having two sisters that are teachers, I can personally attest that they do not have the ability to discipline children. Perhaps we need to enforce a stronger bullying discipline policy. Perhaps parents should be given the right to kick kids off the team, or even kick them out of school for the first time. Sorry. In the end, I want to ask one question. What is the purpose for school? Is it not to prepare our children for the real world? And I will leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Jennifer, and then Brian.
Good evening. It's good to see you all here, and I appreciate your service to the community. I know this is not an easy seat to sit in at this time. I was here at the last meeting, and I appreciated the variety of comments and did note them all. I think that the one thing that I did not hear said was, I think that we need to look at, as a community, what the repercussions of going along with possible litigation and moving this direction could be in the future. What would possibly be the next thing that needs to be, for fear of litigation, changed? And I do think that that's a pretty serious point, because times do change. But I think I would ask the board to be very careful about how quickly you go with such a change. Statistics are dangerous. Statistics can say one thing or another, and I've heard compelling cases being made. When you go back to fact check, it's. I think we've all learned that things can feel a little this way, and then they can look that way, depending on who's saying them and what context. And historically, the school code has always provided for dividing restrooms and changing facilities on the basis of sex. Gender was not necessarily a tagline at that time, and I think if we stick with what is in here, I think science is pretty clear on what a child's sex would just like to urge caution on the part of the board and really take your time to consider what this decision could mean. I know a lot has been said about privacy. I think that's a valid concern for students in the district. I would like to address the one point. I don't believe that this is a fear-driven concern on the part of the community that's against. I think that it's seeing that these are minor students and they are forming their impressions of who they are and what they are, all of them, the students who are for and against, and I think we have to be careful about what we do with our learning environment and how we're influencing all of that. So I don't see that it's fear. I see that it's a reluctance to accept as fact what has not been proven as such. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Brian Hauer and then Diane Everly.
Hello, I'm Brian Hauer. I am also an educator. I teach at Swedish Lancaster Catholic High School. And I've lived in this community for going over 50 years. And I really like this community. It's a very caring community. And that's one thing that's I've noticed about this community. And there's some great organizations across the ministries. You can go on and on about the churches here and so forth. The school board here, I don't want to tell you, I was here at the last meeting, spoke. I watched 3 hours, and I know your job is very hard, and I know you're getting a lot of pressure. I know you're getting in on the phone, you got it that night, and I know, and I watched all your body languages that night, and I know it's a struggle. But I know you're doing what the law is your counsel is presented to us. You're doing what is right for this young this child, this boy, and commend you for that. I'm here to tell you that I'm here to understand the struggle you're going through. Couple things. Some things changed as I heard someone say about the real world. And we need to let the kids understand what the real world is. Well, the real world is that we are in a world that is very diverse. Okay? Races, sexuality, that's the real world. And I'm not saying anything against the privacy. I think you've done everything right to try to keep the privacy private, making options. And I know that this ad hoc committee will continue to look at that. And I look forward to being here for those who are being involved in that discussion. I'm glad you've taken those steps. But you've taken the privacy in the real world for these kids is a diverse community, a diverse world. And I don't know if we can't stop it. Changing, and it's going to be diverse, it's going to be more diverse, and that's what America is all about. It's red, white, blue, and it's the rainbow colors, it's all of them. And together, it is America. So, I understand everyone's concerns, I do, as an educator, and I do want to say as an educator, I can discipline my kids. And yeah, I teach in the city, that doesn't mean there's any more discipline there than I have than at this district. And if I have a kid mop off to me like they would here or say the F word, I take care of it. So, yes, we can miss it.
Thank you. Diane Everly and then Deborah Rogers.
My husband and I are 1970 graduates of this school. We've had 3 children graduate from this school. Now we have grandchildren. This is in response to the last school board meeting and the Lancaster Mirror's article in the newspaper. The last meeting, I heard a lot of talk about feelings and how damaged transgenders are on different levels due to fear and misunderstanding from others. I'd like to know, what about the majority of the other students on the other side of this issue? Today it's progressing to forget about God's absolute truth, and the consequences our actions bring. Society tells us that whatever we think, whatever we do, it's all right. It's our right. That's why our Constitution is being challenged, because we're told we must be politically correct. The Bible in Genesis Psalms 139:13-16. God does not make mistakes. Our human nature tries to change God to our standards, but it should be reversed. We should be conforming to His. When we understand and accept His truths, we are set free on many levels. The last meeting, the word Christian was repeatedly used, and while we will not find that word in the Bible, it is clear that to be a follower of God, we all need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, as stated in John 3:16. We are commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves, but that does not imply that we should have no convictions or that we must compromise His truth. Our society has been on a slippery slope for a long time, and it is time to take a stand, and one that God will approve of. And this isn't because of fear or not knowing what is ahead. If anybody truly wants to know what's ahead, then I challenge them to read the Bible in its entirety.
Thank you. And then Deborah.
Good evening. My name is Deborah Imers. And I'm just going to be short and quick. I just wanted to encourage you all to, I do have 9 grandchildren in this, which most of you know, in this school district. And I guess my concern is not a transgender issue as so much as a privacy issue. So I would encourage the board to protect the privacy of all the students, to have biological girls with biological boys, so that we can protect our children in all ways. And that being said, I want to tell you that I appreciate each one of you, and that I do know that in your hearts you know what's right, and I thank you for your service, and I'd like to pray for you. Father God, I just come before you right now, and I bring this board before you, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that you give them the wisdom and the courage and the thoughts and the wisdom that they need right now, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the student in question here, and Lord, I just pray that you ease her heart, Lord, because I'm sure that this is very hard on her too, and I just ask that you watch over her too. And at the same time, Lord, I pray for the whole district. There's so many good things going on in this district, Lord. And I just thank you so much for this district and everything that's happening here. I pray a blessing over every student, teacher, administrator, and board member, Lord. We have great staff. And I know, Lord, that you've put all that in place. And I thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Pray this in Jesus' name. So I just wanted to add to that, too, that if something would happen, that you guys would get in legal trouble for keeping biological sexes separate, I certainly would support you.
Okay, thank you. I do have a statement that I wanted to read. First of all, I want to clearly state this. My comments are personal as one individual board member, and not to be here as me speaking on behalf of the board. I want to thank everybody who came out and spoke at this meeting and also the last meeting. We spoke respectfully, and I just ask that we continue to treat each other with respect, whether we agree with the opinion or not. In the book, The Wisdom of Crowds, James Siriki writes that basically the premise is that when you get a large group of people together and diverse opinions, oftentimes, they will come up with a better idea than even a panel of experts, or they're more accurate in their thoughts and so forth. As I listened to the comments of the people who spoke at the last meeting, I noticed one common theme that emerged from pretty much people on both sides of the issue. To paraphrase, when I was in school, I was uncomfortable dressing in front of others. And I think most will agree that, you know, in our school experience, the process of changing or showering in front of our classmates was not really a comfortable one. How much more must it be for our students today? I think they're probably used to more privacy at home. We have smaller families and bigger homes as an average. A lot of kids, I grew up sharing a room with my brother until he left, when he got married. And I just think they're not used to that. And as a result, most students don't end up even using the showers at the high school. Maybe it would be appropriate after a PE class. I talked to my kids. We were at dinner on a Saturday night, and both of them said no. They never showered when they were in school. It's different than when we had. And gym teacher had a checklist. We had to make sure. Things have changed. People said, things have changed, and yes, absolutely, some things have changed. And I think the expectation of privacy among students is greater than what it was when we were there, and yet our facilities don't reflect that. With this in mind, I question why do we have the same type of facilities that basically that we had that the schools that were built in the 1950s? If you walk into the locker room, it really hasn't changed. Probably tradition, I guess. But I think what my idea is that we need to look at the bigger picture. This is not just a specific issue. This is a broader privacy issue, student bodily privacy. And I think what I'm encouraging the ad hoc committee to do is to look at a broad-based policy that will give all students the privacy they desire and deserve. I'm going to have some more comments as far as how the committee as far as how we're going to proceed with the actual process of it when we get to our a little bit later on in the meeting. But I know some of you may have to go. I'm not sure what the snow situation is outside, so I just wanted to make this statement before that time comes. So, if there's any other board members that...
I don't have a prepared comment like Glenn does, but I stated to a number of people here today, because I graduated in 76, and I often say the most, I don't want to say humbling or embarrassing situations, because I grew up not really interacting with many kids when I was growing up in farm. In seventh grade, you had to take a shower. Well, that was a rough privacy. I'm probably never doing that dress so darn fast in my life. And if you didn't come out of the shower, if you didn't have wet hair, you got it from there. So I can relate, that was a very humbling experience to learn to go through that. So. We're going to put our best foot forward here and try to come up with something that protect the privacy, and that was one of the reasons I volunteered for this committee.
Thank you. Any other board members? Very good. Then we will move on.
I'll just say this: get someone signed to take the house through the shower. Get the house. And that was our way.
Yes. We have the personnel report in front of us, and hopefully you got a chance to look over that. If not, if you want, we can open that up and take a look at that. But we would need a motion to approve that this evening.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Is there any discussion or questions on the personnel report? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. The personnel report is approved. Property and Services Committee.
Have an information item. It's a revision to policy 609, investment of district funds. We last updated this in 2016. Since then, we received some additional information from our investment advisor as well as our solicitor. So you will see two attachments there. One is the red line version of the changes, and also a clean version of the changes as well. So we provide that as information.
questions on that, or if not, we can get your questions to Mr. Ramsey. If you have any on that, we will get him to get back in next week.
And we'll also have a further look at it next month.
This is the first reading?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Right. This will be the first reading, so we can bring our questions back to the next meeting. All right, was that everything? Mr. Ramsey, was that the entire
of your report? That's it. Yep, that is my report. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on anything with the Property and Services Committee? All right, we will move on to the Program Committee. Dr. Lardy.
Good evening. I have four action items for our next meeting. The first is approval of an affidavit of guardianship, which is our usual process. Next action item is approval of expulsion hearing waivers. There are three of those. If you have any questions about those, you can come see me. The third action item is approval of the new edition of the German language book. We talked about that last month. And so we will be looking for approval of that at our next meeting. And then the final action item is approval of updated curriculum for the veterinary science program or course, grades 9 to 12. Once again, we talked about that last month, and there were samples provided. If you have any questions, please come see me. And last but not least, I have an information item. Jeff, do you have that website? On Friday, we are holding the first, what we hope will be annual LANCO Learning Summit. And that this year is ELANCO, Pequay Valley, and CV. We will all be here on Friday. At this time, there are expected about 720 people here. If you, Jeff, could go over to the left and pull up the session matrix would be good. The day is divided into three sections. An ed camp, which is more of a free-flowing kind of special time where you can get together and talk with people about specific topics that aren't necessarily planned by us. There are some that we've already put in there that have been requested by teachers that have signed up. We also have conference times, which are specific sessions that have been already set. If you want to go scroll down a little bit, Jeff, you can see the different color right there. Those are conference sessions that have already been set with specific topics, and we will have presenters at those. And then at the very top is, I'm going to make, go back up a little bit, sorry. At the very top, we have two featured speakers, Bima Garvey, who the board saw in October, and also Linda Laughlin, who met with about 120 of us 2 weeks ago to talk about learning progressions. They are leaders in customized learning, which, as you know, we started focusing on so that we have our learners ready when they leave here to be productive global citizens. And at the very bottom of the sessions, we have a makerspace exploration drop-in. And so total, we have 107 sessions. We will start with ELANCO at 8 o'clock. Pequay Valley and CD will join us at 8:30. We will have a keynote address by B, and then we will be going into sessions. We have lunch. This is a really big time, and we're very, very, very excited about it. But we have lunch and networking as well in the middle of the day. Pequay Valley is a little bit further along in their customization. They started about 4 years ago. CV is a little behind us in looking at customization. So we're looking for this day to be a day where we can learn together and grow together, and we're very, very excited. So you are welcome to come on Friday if you'd like to. Just let us know, and we'll make sure there's a parking space, because parking is going to be at a premium. So any questions?
Just a comment from me. I just want to compliment Dr. Larkin and her team. This is a massive organizing opportunity, I guess you should, I could say. But it's awesome. We've never done this before. This is multi-district sharing. It's a great way to empower teachers to their strengths and share with one another, and instead of sending along to conferences that are often more expensive and it's hit or miss. This is a great opportunity for really for colleagues to work together. So I'm thrilled to be able to host this. Compliments to Mr. Johnson too, who's really doing all the organizing of the actual mechanicals of the day and parking and food and everything else. So compliments to the team. This is a real opportunity for our teachers. Thank you.
Thank you. And you also mentioned there just the February 15th. Any future snow days? We're not going to have any.
Well, I have to tell you that whenever I send out emails for this day, I put hashtag no snow.
Okay.
So it's going to rain, I think, on Friday, but that's okay. We can handle rain.
We'll see what tomorrow brings. Okay, any other questions on the program committee? Board member? Management committee, Dr. House.
Thank you, Mr. President. We are monitoring the snow right now, actually. The superintendents are all talking for tomorrow. We'll have an answer on that a little later. For the management committee, a couple of things. I did want to mention the governor's budget. Pretty aggressive, I think, compared to budgets more recently in the past. A couple of things to highlight. The one piece that I think most people understand is not realistic is the minimum starting salary, just because of the complicated nature of salaries across the Commonwealth. I don't think that's going to get any legs. But I do think that the money for school safety is going to continue to stay there. I do think the additional funding for special education, at least in part, will stay there. School districts across the Commonwealth continue to lose ground every year, paying for special education needs of students as those costs go up. Just be a little bit aware that the basic education subsidy, there's a little bit of switcheroos there because the ready to learn block is now back in that. So some of that money that was grant funded before, they run into the basic subsidy. So just be careful to watch that. There may not be as much money as advertised. And then some of the other things that he's talking about, when you get the compulsory school age changes, some of those things I think will all take some time to get through the General Assembly. Overall, the governor is really trying to make a push, it appears, to get some more dollars into school districts, particularly those school districts with more severe need even than ours. So that's just a little quick summary on the budget. Again, it's early. We don't expect to see those numbers until probably May or June or later, long after we have to decide, make decisions on our budget here. Any questions on that? Next item I have is the ad hoc committee that Mr. Yoder had talked about previously. I wanted to make sure all of those dates were out in the public. We are also advertising those in the Lancaster newspaper. Well, they'll be a part of our minutes here. And you can see them on the agenda. Jeff, you want to pull that up for me, please? And they'll be there even if you can't see them from where you're seated. They'll be on the agenda in perpetuity, so they're always there for you. Those ad hoc meetings, we tried to mix them up, the days and times a little bit to accommodate for people in case your schedule's a little bit different. We even have one meeting in the morning just in case folks are working the second shift and just can't get here or have child care needs or whatever. So we tried to give those dates a little bit of variety to accommodate as many people as possible. The rules haven't been really laid out for those meetings yet, but I would expect that folks will be able to talk like you are talking here. If the group's even small enough, then maybe back and forth dialogue. As Mr. Yoder said, we have a couple of ideas for that ad hoc committee process, and then return back to the full board with a report. But the dates are critical. We want folks to be there. Those meetings will be held here in this in this facility, so that we have plenty of room for everyone to help participate. So please note those. Any questions? Next item I have for the board, the Safe to Say update. We are underway with Safe to Say. Safe to Say is the state mandated reporting system that's in place. While we did have ways that students could turn in concerns related to their peers, whether it's bullying or suicide or drugs or any kind of threats to the school, the state has a one-stop shop for every student and parent now. Students and were trained, and in late January, all students grade 7 to 12 were trained, and then other training is still occurring. But students may use that Safe to Say line any time. We've had a number of referrals since it's open. Two of those referrals to us were life events, meaning there was a thought or a threat of suicide, which was processed. I know Dr. Larkin, for example, got one call at 2:30 in the morning and then had to get back to the police department, and they followed up. So it's 24/7 service for these things. So far, across the Commonwealth, Safe to Say has had a lot of activity, and so far, the bumps are starting to smooth out. The training for school districts was pretty shoddy and pretty disorganized, but we are recovering pretty well, and that system is up and running. So I'm pleased with it. And then, finally, just an information item today. Just a reminder that Dr. Larkin does have this huge in-service this coming Friday. Board members are welcome to come into any part of that. Just drop in. And you don't even need to check in if you just want to float around and see what's going on. We appreciate it. And then we have the pleasure of hosting Leadership Lancaster here on March 1st for their Public Education Day. Again, board members, feel free to drop in anytime to visit with us. We have a panel over lunchtime that has some legislators on talking about current public school issues in the Commonwealth, so we look forward to that. And then finally, just a reminder to you folks who are here, we appreciate your time, we appreciate you being here. There is no board meeting next Monday. Monday is President's Day. It's one of the 2 months of the whole system where we push it back. So the next meeting is the end of February. It's not next week. So skip a week, and we'll see it back there then. That concludes my report. Thank you all for coming out.
Okay, thank you. And I guess a note there, as far as the Leadership Lancaster, I believe we have one of our own board members who is involved in that program.
That's correct.
Dia Mayos
is participating.
And I believe we have a graduate on our board too.
It was Paul Sostro
Johnson. So it sounds like a really interesting program.
Yeah, for those of you who aren't first center here, Leadership Lancaster is a Lancaster, it's an entire county. And it basically is its purpose is to train folks to get on nonprofit boards. The board members, there are literally hundreds of nonprofit organizations in Lancaster County, way more than I ever knew. And so the whole purpose of Leadership Lancaster is to take people and train them up and get them to think civically and to get them engaged in whatever it is that you want to get engaged in. Currently, there are about 75 core class members, so there'll be 75 folks from a myriad of businesses and companies throughout the county, law firms, architecture firms, banks, doctor's offices, hospitals, all that, just representatives from all over. And then they participate in about 9 or 10 sessions, and they experience little pieces of our county and then grow through that experience. So we've been able to host this now for this is our third or fourth time, but they've come all the way out here to Eastern Lancaster County. So I'm proud of that we get to show off. Our students get involved, our students get to participate in the discussions, and they also do some tours for the building for the visitors. So it's a great opportunity, and I'm pleased that we get selected to do that every year. Thank you. I jumped on.
Yeah, any other comments on that? Under announcements, then, I just wanted to continue a little bit on the ad hoc committee. So the original charge that I gave to the committee at the last meeting, I had set a deadline of February 28th for them to report back with a response. With the short notice and the challenges of working with members already scheduled commitments, it's going to be necessary to extend the date until the board meeting on March 18th. You can see that we had it up there for the last meeting of, I think it was like the 14th. So we had a couple members of the committee on action on vacation this week, which they already had scheduled, so we weren't able to get them started sooner than that, and we do have to comply with the requirements. requirement to advertise them in advance as well. So the way any policy works, as far as board policy, would have to be presented at a board meeting, and that's called the first reading. And then it cannot be voted on until the next meeting, which would be the second reading. Any changes in the policy at the second meeting will constitute making it a first reading, and then it would have to be, you'll wait to vote on to get to the next. So that's kind of the board policy requirement there on that. Also, as a reminder to the board, any information that is presented during executive session or consultation with our solicitor, considered privileged information which the board policy states may not be discussed with anyone outside of the attendees of the session, except for absent board members. So just a reminder to all of us on that. And finally, I wanted to bring up the idea of perhaps bringing in outside legal counsel to review and advise on any policy that the committee would consider. We have an excellent solicitor on school board matters. But since this is more of a constitutional law issue, more than a school code issue, I think we may want to consider that. And my thinking would be if we would decide to do that, we would issue a RFP, a request for a proposal, for a firm or attorney with more of that specialty. So I guess at this time, we'll open that up for discussion, or if anybody wants to make a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Second. Any other discussion on that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay, that motion carries. I guess Dr. Hollis, you will have to work on the RFP. I don't know. Yeah. How exactly we do that?
Well, I'm sitting here going, we really ought to have an attorney help us with
this. I know, right? Well, we had discussed.
I think they're open to our solicitor now.
Okay. Very good. Any other announcements from the board members? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I second. Okay, we are adjourned for this evening. Hopefully everyone gets home before it snows too much.